You're wondering what that means. Does it make a difference? I'm going to challenge your thinking a little bit this morning, I hope. Does it make a difference? In the men's prayer breakfast yesterday, it was mentioned that succeeding generations, and this is what I took away, and maybe that was different than what was meant, but in succeeding generations, the next generation may not be as convicted as we are. And does it matter what you believe? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I may have not chosen the best colors, but red and black, that's Texas Tech colors. And that doesn't show up so well, but we're not going to dwell on that slide too long. But does it make a difference what you believe? And I would dare say that most of you here would probably tell me, and I know with y'all, that's Southern for you guys, for New York, you know. When I was in New York, I had to say you guys, but now I'm in the South, so I'll say y'all. What you believe, and I know you have a conviction for the things that you believe. So does it make a difference for what you do believe? It seems in succeeding generations, they don't believe or have the conviction that possibly their parents do. I know in the air traffic control business that I was in for some time, a guy that retired in Hot Springs Village that was part of a team that investigated air traffic control errors retired down there, and he kind of bemoaned the fact that young controllers, when they had errors, did not take it with the same seriousness that older air traffic controllers did. They kind of had the attitude, well, everybody makes mistakes, but older air traffic controllers were very, very serious and very grave about an error that they made. But the younger generations were like, everybody makes mistakes. And just kind of went on about their business, and that was something that was very of a grave concern to him. But we're going to talk about that a little bit, and maybe you challenge your thinking a little bit. The religious world to you is obviously divided. To all of us, we know that Jesus prayed for unity, and we haven't done a good job with that, have we? When it comes to doctrinal things, we're very divided on doctrinal issues. We have different beliefs. We have different doctrines, different practices. There's different churches. We've named ourselves after every conceivable doctrine. We've even named ourselves, a methodology. We've got the Methodist, we've got the Baptist, we've got Lutherans, we've got, you can just come up with every possible name there is. But does it make any difference about all that stuff? And I'm not just talking about a name, I'm talking about the practice itself and the question itself. Does it make any difference what we believe? And I put a couple pictures up there. Popular concept. There's one concept alone, that faith alone, just believe in the Lord. That's all you need to do. And I had this lesson ready a while back, but due to the death of a popular religious leader, I didn't use it at the time because he taught that concept. And the world was bemoaning the fact that he had passed, so I didn't use it at that time. And some would say, just be sincere about what you believe. And that's good enough. That's good enough. Years ago, when I was much younger, there was a commercial that would say, "Join the church of your choice." And I'm not sure I remembered it right, but that's the way I remembered it. Join the church of your choice. Just pick one. Kind of like when you go to the cafeteria, you just pick one. You just pick something out. And some would say that, all you have to be is just a good moral person, and that's good enough. That equals Christianity. Just be a good moral person. And some of that might to me, might be a barrier to the gospel, at least to my conscience and to your conscience and to your way of thinking. Does it make any difference? You have the Bible on one side, you got some people that say that it doesn't make any difference at all. And as a result of that, if they say that, sometimes the gospel can't really get through. It's like a barrier when they say it doesn't make any difference. They say, you know, we're good moral people. We don't need to study. We do good things. And to them, issues are trivial. And when I say issues, we're talking about doctrinal things. And it's all about feeling comfortable. I've talked to people before that says, you know, I go to a church where I feel comfortable. Have you heard that saying before? I feel comfortable. Is that what's important in a church? Is if you feel comfortable? You know, our pews, I noticed, I moved up this morning. Scott, you've got the one where it helps your back. Does that feel comfortable? You feel comfortable. Well, the one I was sitting in, it didn't have a thing for my back. I didn't feel as comfortable. Well, that, you know, that's important. If you feel comfortable, some people might feel like, well, I already have a church, so, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do. You know, I go to some church, so it's good enough. I can sleep good there. I get a good nap every Sunday morning. That's fine. And, you know, this really could be one of the devil's best tools, because you feel comfortable. And I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm just throwing this out as something to think about. It makes a difference what one believes. The popular concept does not work in every area of life. Now, you wouldn't use, those that have that concept would not use that in every area of life. Would you try that in business? I remember a few years ago, and of course, if you invest in a business and you believe it to be a good business, you can still lose all your money. You remember the guy that they arrested, Bernie Madoff? There's lots of people that felt comfortable investing their money with the guy. You can even do your research into a company and still lose money. A few years ago, I read about companies, and I would look for stock where the company was doing good things. I found one company that was doing cancer research. Read about the company. Cancer research was good. But we had a leader at the time, and I don't want to mention the president's name just because he was from this state. I don't want to mention who it was. What's so funny? I didn't want to embarrass anybody. But he said if we found a cure for cancer, we would share it with the world. That company's stock went to nothing overnight because of that one statement. Okay, I believe that company was doing really good. Well, all of a sudden, that company didn't do so good because of that one statement. And there were several other companies that were also looking for cancer research. How do you think their stock did? Not so good. So you can believe a business is going to be a very good business, and you can think it's going to do really good, and you can invest in that company. And just because you think it's a good company, there's a lot of things that affect that company. And just because you think it's good doesn't necessarily make it good. Ask all those people that invested with Bernie Madoff and other people that lost their money, me included, thanks to others that I won't name. So, you can easily lose all your money. Not all of it, but what you had with them. So that concept, just because you feel comfortable and you think it's good, doesn't necessarily make it so. Same way with your health. You could take a glass of water and believe it to be good.
And if you, I remember this from the cowboy movies. You don't drink that water. That's bitter weed there, you know. And you don't drink it. You could be, and you watched movies, you know, you could be stranded in the ocean and you could die of thirst in the middle of the ocean. You can't drink salt water. Just because you think, don't make it so. You can believe anything, but it makes a difference what you believe. What about Hebrews 11:6? Now, I would encourage you to read these passages. You may need to jot them down if you want to look at them. I'm not going to take the time to read every one of them, but I'm going to make reference to some. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, and we've read this many times, it is impossible to please God without faith. So does it matter what we believe? Hebrews 11:6 says it is. You cannot please God without faith. So does it matter? Well, that verse says it does. John 8:21-24 says, Jesus says, without believing in Him, that you would die in your sins. Truth. Jesus in John 8:32 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. No one. There's no other way. Galatians 1:6-9, Paul indicates that they were leaving Christ and doing it quickly. And he says that anyone that does this would be cut off from Christ. There has to be an objective standard. And we know what the standard is. But and that's, this was also brought up in the men's prayer breakfast. The fact that this generation does not look to the Bible as an objective standard. Used to, we could point to the Bible when we were studying with people. But a lot of times we have to establish the Bible as the objective standard. A lot of people, just because you say the Bible says, doesn't mean anything to them. You say the Bible says this, they're like, well, who cares what the Bible says? What does that mean to me? So you have to establish the authority of Scripture before you go to Scripture. But for the most part, we do believe it is a fixed standard. It makes a difference. What is written? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 states the fact. It says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. According as it is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It indicates as it is written. And you see, it takes what is written and it indicates that is authoritative. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 calls the Word of God the oracles of God. You can see the standard of Scripture being authoritative. 1 Corinthians 14:37, what does Paul say? He says that what he is speaking are the commandments of the Lord. Commandments of the Lord. So if they're the commandments of the Lord, what is he expecting those people to do? To follow those commandments of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he indicates it's the Word of God. The Word of God. Now these guys were either speaking the Word of God or what? They were liars. They were liars. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, a passage that you know full well. He states that it was the Word of God. It was God-breathed based on the Greek itself. That's a passage that you know well. 1 Corinthians 2:9-13. Words chosen by the Holy Spirit. That's a good passage. 1 Corinthians 2:9-13. Let's look at that. It'll take a few minutes. That's the one we don't look at. He says, but as it is written,
Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I'm not going to read the whole passage, but you can see that he's indicating this is revelation of God given to man. This is from God. And so passages like this is what you use to establish the authority of Scripture, the fact that this is from God. This is not something that man made up. This is something that God gave to the apostles to give to men. The difference it makes. What difference does it make? Well, John said, it keeps you from sin. This is the difference. One believes in Christ, his sins are forgiven, he receives heaven. Does not believe, he dies in sin. This is what Jesus said. He can't go to heaven. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 through 12. And this is a scary passage. It really is. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now these are religious people, but they did not receive a love of the truth, and therefore what? God sent them a lie. God sent them a lie, and so that they would not believe the truth. And there is a point in which you deny the truth, and God sends you a point in which you cannot see the truth. You can only deny the truth so long. And at that point, God will not allow you to see the truth. He will blind your eyes to the truth. He will only send you so much truth, and if you keep denying the truth, you will not be able to see the truth. That's what that passage says. You'll be deceived, verse 10. Not love the truth. You will be deluded, verse 11. You will believe a lie and not believe the truth, verse 12. And then pleasure in unrighteousness, verse 12. Ultimately perish, verse 10, and condemned, verse 12. Verse 10, love the truth. When you see the truth in God's Word, love it. Love it. Verse 12, believe the truth when you see the truth. And ultimately you will be saved. It makes a difference what one practices. It makes a difference. Now we would think not. We would be around those in this generation that has the opinion, it don't matter. Just so long you're sincere. Doesn't matter what you believe. Pick out a church and go during Christmas, every other year or so, every third year maybe at Easter. That's good enough. It does make a difference what one practices. And if it does not, you can do anything. Have you ever thought of that? If it makes a difference what one practices, and if not, what? Then you can do anything. Some people handle snakes in worship. Do you know that? Some people, you could do immoral acts in worship if it does not make a difference. Our practice must be authorized by the Word of God. Did you know that? Have you ever considered that from the Word of God? Look at Hebrews 8:5.
It talks about who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly thing as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." In Hebrews, he's talking about the fact that there was a pattern shown to the Christians, the same as Moses was given a pattern for the things that he did. And the same way, the church has been given a pattern of the things that were shown and authorized. And we have been given a pattern of the things that we are authorized and shown. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So it's something that is in the name of the Lord. It's according to the pattern that God has shown the church, the same way He showed Moses in the mountain. It's also within the doctrine of Christ. Look at 2 John 9. 2 John, it'll be in the first chapter, by the way. Flip through all the chapters of 2 John. There's only one, by the way. Let's look at that one. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Okay, what's that saying? It says anybody that goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, what? It says you're on your own, doesn't it? That's in common vernacular. He says, whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. In other words, if you stay within the doctrine of Christ, then you have authority for doing the things that you want to do. If you want to pick up and just do whatever you want to do, you're on your own. You're authorizing your own religion. It says you hath not God. In other words, if you want to come up with your own kind of church, well, just do it. It's your church. It will be the church of what's happening now. You know it? And there's a lot that choose to do that. But it's not going to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the church of what's happening now. You know it? Because you have not abided in the doctrine of Christ. Next, look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk." Now, what does walk mean? It doesn't mean literally walking. It's talking about living. "Let us walk by the same rule." Let us mind the same thing. What rule is he talking about? He's talking about the same rule of being authorized by living by the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. The things contained within the Word. Things that are authorized. Living within the doctrine of Christ. The difference it makes. Our practice affects our fellowship with God. We just read that. We stay within the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 9. We stay within the doctrine of Christ we just read. We stay within eternal salvation. Matthew 7. Let's back up to 7:21-23. This is one that Jack used to quote a lot. A lot. Seemed like, I mean, we'd be talking about baptism. He'd quote that. I don't know. Anything, he would quote that one. But that was one of his favorite verses. But you know what strikes me about Matthew 7:21-23? It's to religious people. And that's a scary verse. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He is talking to people who are religious people. This is not some person that is a terrible evil doer. He is talking to a religious person. That's what's so scary about this verse. He is talking to a religious person that thought they were doing the right thing. Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in your name? Because this person is surprised now by the Lord's reaction. And he says, many, not a few, but many will say to him, Lord, did we not do, and so that do is like, we have performed for you. We have done great works in your name. And you're going to tell us we're lost? How can you do that? This is a shock to these people. It's a shock to their system. Are we part of that number? Is it because of our belief? Is it because of our works? What's the deal? Are we going to be surprised like that? That verse does scare me.
It must make a difference. There must be consequences. If it doesn't make any difference, if it doesn't matter what one believes or not, if it doesn't make any difference whether one believes the Bible or not, if it doesn't matter what the Bible says, if the Bible is unimportant, if it doesn't matter what God says, if that's truly unimportant, or if it does make a difference, I need to know the truth. You know it? I need to make sure I am free from my sins. That's what Jesus said in John 8:32. I need to study and examine what I am taught. Acts 17:11. Let's look at that. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scripture daily whether these things were so. So they did several things. They were noble, they received the word, and they received it with readiness of mind. That indicates to me that whatever they received, they acted upon it. When they received it, they responded to what they understood. That's a big thing. Because God is only going to give us so much truth, and then what's He going to do? I think He's going to blind us to what the truth is all about if we don't respond to the truth. I think we get so many chances and then you can't see it no more.
And I need to obey the truth. 1 Peter 1:22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's good stuff. These people responded to the truth when they received it. So, you know, I'm talking to people who I think received the truth. They obeyed the truth for the most part. Most of you, when you see truth, you respond to it, you believe it, you've become Christians. But at the same time, we come in contact with people at the same time every day who don't respond in that particular way. And it's hard to help them and to know what to do to help them. That's difficult, isn't it? And we want to encourage them.
But
it's not always easy to do.
It's not always easy to find the right words to help them respond in the appropriate ways.
We can pray for them. We can encourage them. And those things are very important to help them respond to truth in the proper ways. This morning I've tried to help you, challenge you to see truth, to respond to it in the proper way, and to help you to understand that it does make a difference to what you believe. And it's important to understand that it's more important than just being comfortable. It matters what we believe as Christians. We need to be careful as Christians. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly, I like that word. That's a good word, circumspectly. It's not one we use every day. I chose the King James for that word because I like that word, circumspectly. It makes you think a little bit and consider the meaning of the word. We need to walk circumspectly. Pay attention. Walk wisely. This morning, if I've used this lesson to make you think, if you need to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to come.